मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरम्। So, welcome once again. Currently, what we're seeing all around the world, where there's so many temples and so many devotees and so many Rath Yatras, even in a country like Pakistan, we have Rath Yatra, and so many books distributed. 50 crore Bhagavad Gita is distributed all around the world. And so many people who are demoniac are becoming devotees. So many people all around the world, the white-skinned, the black-skinned, the brown-skinned, and even the Indian-skinned also. Even Chinese and Japanese, and so many people all around the world have become devotees, which is unlike in the history. No one was able to do this, but one personality called A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A.C. stands for Abhay Charan. Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because of a personality like him, now we can see a huge transformation in the entire world. But we just know the 12 years of Srila Prabhupada. This is just the result of his 12 years of preaching. But in these sessions, what we're going to see is the 69 years of his preparation, the homework, which he started from his home. This is what we're going to see in these sessions. And it will be very, very interesting if you are a person who wants to really know about Srila Prabhupada. It will be very, very connecting, because we are part of Prabhupada's moment. There's no question about that. It will be very, very interesting, because Prabhupada is none other than our very dear grandfather. Whenever we offer prayers also, yes, sometimes we do address him as grandpa. He's very, very... And grandpa or grandfather is very, very dear to grandchildren. No doubt about that. Father might be not dear, as dear as the grandfather. His grandfather is very merciful. Very merciful. And it's because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy that all of us today have taken up beads, and we all have started chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jadi Prabhupada na hoito, tabe ki hoito, jivana bhai takise. If Prabhupada wouldn't have been there, what would have happened to all of us? Just imagine what would have happened to all of us. We might be sitting today in this lockdown and watching movies after movies after movies. Just behind our center, there's a building. So even when we get up in the morning at 3, the people are still watching movies. Still watching movies. And even if this lockdown is opened, and if we would have not been devotees, the first thing that we all would have done, including me, would have gone out and gone to various places like movie theaters and restaurants and this and that, etc., 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 and partied hard. This is what people would have done. But look at us. The first thing that we all are going to do, as soon as lockdown opens, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we all will be hankering to meet each other in a crowd and do kirtan and jump in ecstasy in kirtan. This is the transformation. This is the transformation that Srila Prabhupada has got in all of our lives. In fact, we can go on speaking for next 1 hour about what transformation Srila Prabhupada has got us in our lives. But the topic of discussion is something else. Understanding what Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada prepared himself, that is what is the topic. So let's dive into that. So when we hear about Srila Prabhupada, what should be there in our mind and what should be our mood? I'm hearing about that personality who has transformed my life. Let me hear about him attentively. That is the mood. So if you really want to pay your homage to Srila Prabhupada and express your gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, be very attentive when you're hearing about him. Hearing about our superior, yes, is not different than offering respect to them directly. So hear it very, very carefully. And I'm sure the session that we're starting today will take us to another level of attachment to Srila Prabhupada. The session that we're starting today will take us to another level of attachment to Srila Prabhupada's books and Srila Prabhupada's Vani, that is his lectures. So let's start with nice detailed discussion on where did Srila Prabhupada appear. So now the discussion is this: where did Srila Prabhupada appear? If you have any questions, keep posting, so we'll answer at the end. Now don't ask me various details, who was Prabhupada's grandfather and who was Prabhupada's great-grandfather. I don't know about all that. Whatever is there in Prabhupada Lilamrit, a book which talks about Srila Prabhupada, 7-volume book, I'm going to speak from that. So Prabhupada, you know, he appeared in a family lineage called Muliks. Now, these Muliks, you know, for hundreds of years, they had traded with Britishers with gold and salt. This was what the trading commodities were, salt and gold. And Muliks were known, you know, for their richness. They were very, very filthy rich. Now, Prabhupada's parents' name are Gaur Mohan Day and Rajini Day. So, Gaur Mohan and Rajini, these are the names of Prabhupada's father and mother. Now, they basically is a family which has a gotra starting from Gautama Rishi. So, gotras basically says what is our origin. So, there are 7 rishis from whom, you know, everyone has originated. So, 7 gotras are there. Then later point of time, so when the Mughals came, I mean before Britishers, when the Mughals came, they gave the title to their family as Muliks, seeing their richness. And after many years, so a branch of their family was named as Muliks. So after many years, one of the daughter of the Mulik family was married into their family. And from that time, both the families remained together. So that's how the relationship was very close between the Muliks and they. So which actually, you know, is Muliks family only. So all these Muliks family, they all stayed in 151 Harrison Road in North Kolkata. So that's the place where they stayed. In fact, it is described on that road. I've never been to. If anyone has gone, you know, you can suggest better what is the description. But what I've read is, so on that particular road, on the either side of the Harrison Road, the property belonged to the Muliks. And one such personality whom the property belonged was Lokanath Mulik. And Gaur Mohan Day, Prabhupada's father, he stayed in few rooms in a 3-story building of this particular person's property. You want to see the place? I'll share the photo of the place. Let's do something. Let's cover a few more points and then we will go for it. Then when it comes to the surrounding of the entire place, so it is described that there is one temple, 150 years old temple, having deities of Radha Govinda. So this is maintained by Mulik families. So the daily routine was, before breakfast, all the family members of this entire Mulik family would come together. They would visit, take darshan of the lordships. They would be bringing a lot of bhoga, huge bhoga, samosas, kachoris, and so many other things. They would offer it to Radha Govinda and they would distribute it all around. So this is the background of the family in which, you know, Srila Prabhupada is going to appear. It was the second day or the next day of Janmashtami, 1st September 1896. And the second day of Janmashtami, or the next day of Janmashtami, is called as Nandotsav. So when Krishna appeared, that is called as Janmashtami. The second day is a celebration. When Krishna appeared, this was a celebration. And a party was thrown by Nanda Maharaj to all the Brajavasis and everyone who invited. And on that particular day, it is described that everyone got a lot of makhan, butter and milk and yogurt and ghee and so many other items. And there the holi started. Holy not with colors, but holy with milk and yogurt and curd and ghee. And it's described that everyone was throwing at each other. It was Nandotsav. It was celebration. It was a celebration. And Nanda Maharaj on that particular day, he gave charity, huge amount of charity. So this is that day, Nandotsav. And on this auspicious day, the most auspicious personality, the Senapati Bhakta of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is going to spread the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this cult of bhakti all over the world, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada appeared. 1st September 1896. And he was named as Abhay Charan. Abhay Charan and Dey, the surname. Abhay Charan Dey. So Abhay Charan basically means the one who is fearless by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Hari. That is meant by Abhay Charan. So Gaur Mohan Dey, when he saw his beautiful child appearing, so what he did was, he called for astrologers. And then when the astrologers came, they made the horoscope of Abhay Charan. So now we'll be calling him as Abhay Charan. Later we'll call him as Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. So they made a nice horoscope of Abhay Charan, and it was predicted that at the age of 70, this personality will be crossing the ocean, and he would be a great exponent of religion, and he would be setting more than or establishing more than 108 temples. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki! Yay. So this was a prediction already given. It's already given. So it was not a new thing. It was not a new thing. So these are the places where which we just talked about. Yeah. So this is the place where Srila Prabhupada appeared. So this is the, now obviously it has become very old and looks shabby also. But this is the place where our dear grandfather Srila Prabhupada appeared. And this is the tree under which Srila Prabhupada appeared. So it was a jackfruit tree. And this is the place where Gaur Mohan Dey would stay. These are the, this is the three-story building, you know, in which he would be staying. And this is the Radha Govinda Mandir, which we just talked about, where the Muliks would worship every single day. And these are the beautiful deities, Radha Govinda. They're still there. We'll discuss about them. You know, Prabhupada will be talking about that. Yes. Now let's get into the pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Let's discuss something about Gaur Mohan Dey first, the father of Srila Prabhupada. Now Gaur Mohan Dey was a pure Vaishnava, no doubt. To whom a pure Vaishnava is going to appear, he has to be a pure Vaishnava, no doubt about that. Demons are born in demoniac family. Pure devotees are born in pure devotee family. So here Gaur Mohan Dey was a pure devotee. Because Gaur Mohan's parents were pure devotees. They were Vaishnavas. It is described that Gaur Mohan Dey never broke any regulative principles. Never ate meat, never got into intoxication, never got into illicit connection, no gambling. Never ever he got into all this. In fact, he was so kind-hearted. He was a cloth merchant. He was so kind-hearted that before leaving the shop, before locking the shop, he would keep a bowl of rice in the middle of the room of that particular shop, so that at night the rats can come and eat, you know, that rice which is kept, and they don't they don't create a havoc when it comes to the shop and eating all the cloth, you know, which is kept. So he was not keeping a trap or something like that. He was keeping a bowl of rice. This is called as a soft-hearted Vaishnava. Soft-hearted Vaishnava. And when Gaur Mohan Dey would return home, he would read Srimad Bhagavatam. He would read Chaitanya Charitamrita. He would chant on his beads the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He would worship the deities. And he was so very kind-hearted. He was so gentle that he never punished Abhay Charan. Never. Abhay Charan is Srila Prabhupada. He never punished Abhay Charan. Even if he had to correct Abhay Charan, you know what he would say? He would speak before correcting him. He would say, look, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, Jagannath Mishra, would chastise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to correct him whenever he used to go wrong. So now I'm going to correct you. So I'm going to punish you now. So be ready. And I'm sorry for that. This is how he would start correcting. This is called as the heart of a pure Vaishnava. You know? Like very, very soft-hearted. Very, very soft-hearted. Prabhupada recalls, you know, you'll hear this in the audio lectures. Prabhupada recalls that at night, he would come late. Gaur Mohan Dey would come late at night. And Prabhupada recalls in his lectures that my father would come back, and then he would be worshipping the deities. After coming back, he would do all this, take bath, etc. And then read, chant, and worship the deities. So worship the deities. He remembers that. And Prabhupada says that at night, there'll be suddenly a sound of ding, 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 ding. And then we all would get up. You know, Prabhupada says that, you know, we all get up. And then we would watch our dear father paying obeisances to the deities. This is called a samskar. This is called a samskar, you know, which parents give. Now, when it comes to Abhay Charan, Gaurmande never told him what he's supposed to do. Gaurmande set an example in front of him. So Gaurmande would do every day without fail, every day he would do this, and he lived a very, very pious life. Very, very pious life. And look at the expectation of Gaurmande for his son. He was not expecting that his son should become an engineer and, you know, he should fly to US and, you know, earn a lot of money. His only expectation from his son was he should become a very nice devotee and a preacher. Very nice, pure devotee, and he should become a very nice preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This was what his prayers were. And to fulfill these prayers, every single day, Prabhupada also says this in his lectures, every single day his father would invite a lot of sadhus home. He says at least 3 to 4 sadhus would come every single day home. And, you know, he would feed, Gaurmande would feed all these sadhus. And before the sadhus leave, the only thing that he'll request the sadhus to do is, please bless my son Abhay, so that he becomes a very pure servant of Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. This was the mood of Gaurmande. Now let's talk about Rajini. Rajini De, the mother of Prabhupada, she had a different mood. So she had expectation like every other mother has. So her mood was that my son should become a barrister, he should become a nice British lawyer. And he should fly to England for studying. And then, you know, he should get well settled. But Gaurmande was against sending Abhay Charan to West. He was against. And Gaurmande would say, I'm not interested in the money offices. I'm not interested. I'm interested that he should become a very nice, pure devotee. And to make him a devotee right from childhood, look at this, what Gaurmande would do. Gaur Mohan Prabhu, he hired a Mridanga teacher. When Abhay was very, very small, he hired a Mridanga teacher. And then every single day, this Mridanga class would happen in the house of Gaur Mohan Prabhu. And when it comes to the mother of Abhay Charan, so Rajini, she would say that, what is the use of all this? Why are you teaching my son all these things? What is the use of all this? But Gaur Mohan Prabhu had a vision, and he's a pure devotee, you know, he had a vision. He said that my son would grow up singing bhajans, playing mridanga, and he would be speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. This was the mood of Gaurmohan Prabhu. When it comes to Rajini, she begot or she gave birth to Abhay Charan when she was 30. And she also came from a nice background of devotees. She also came in a Vaishnava background, like Gaurmohande, similar to Gaurmohande. And she was again, you know, in the merchant family only. It is described that Gaurmohan Prabhu was very cool in his behavior, whereas Rajini was very, very fiery, very fiery. But it is described that they would never have fights. They would never have fights at home, and they lived peacefully. There were no critical marital conflicts at home. It is described that she was very chaste. She was very religious. And she was completely dedicated to taking care of the husband and kids. Completely dedicated. In fact, she would do so many things to protect Abhay. So many things. Like Gaurmohan Prabhu, he expressed, you know, his love towards his pet son, Abhay, by giving him nice culture of spirituality. Whereas Rajini expressed her love for Abhay by protecting him, by doing various activities. One such very touching activity which she did was when Abhay took birth. So at that time, she took a vow. She took a vow. And what was the vow? She took a vow that I will be eating with my left hand till my son grows up and he asks me that, mother, why are you eating with the left hand? Till then, I'll be eating with left hand. And her thought process was that if I take this vow, then at least my son would survive till he comes to the level or grows up, not to an age where he can speak and ask, you know, what I'm doing. That was the mood of his mother. That was the love of Rajini, you know, for Abhay. And it happened. It happened. And one day, you know, Abhay asked, why are you eating with left hand? And that day, she stopped. She stopped eating with her left hand and she came back to the original, you know, eating with right hand, and she said, "For your protection." She said that, "For your protection." No, like every other child, when Prabhupada was doing his childhood pastimes, so Abhay, he would not like taking medicines. But Rajini was very, very strict. She would make sure, you know, she would forcefully give medicines to Abhay. You can imagine Abhay saying no and Rajini feeding him medicines. Yes. And she would take him every day to Ganga. She would take him every day to Ganga and give him bath very, very lovingly. Very, very lovingly. Sometimes Abhay would say, "I will not go to school." So at that time, his father, Gaur Mohan Prabhu, was like, "Okay, chika, no problem. You know, you can be at home." He was lenient. But Rajini was very strict. She was insisting, "No, you should go to school every single day." And to such an extent that she hired one man, hired a person to escort Abhay every day to school. So this was the mood of Gaur Mohan and the mood of Rajini. So I hope you got how amazing these parents were. So much of love. So much of love. In fact, Prabhupada says, recalls in the lectures, that he got so much of love in his childhood. Both Gaur Mohan and Rajini would love him so much. Gaur Mohan would love in a different way and Rajini would love him in a different way. But both of them showered immense love on Abhay. This is what parents have to do for every single kid. It's very, very important. Unfortunately, nowadays, both husband and wife, they're working and the kids are put into play school. But one thing we're not understanding is, in the childhood, what the kid understands is only the love and nothing else. The kid is not interested to study. The kid is not interested to play with someone else. But the kid is interested to play and do various activities with parents. So Shastras also say that a lot of time should be invested when the kid is small. In fact, we have heard from various senior Grihasthas that we should take care of the kids very nicely when they're in their childhood. Because it's only then the child would grow up very nicely without the lacking of emotional need. When you see the child is emotionally unstable or the person is emotionally unstable, you can make out how the childhood was very easily. A person who has got a lot of love in the childhood from the parents, that person will be very stable in his life, very stable. So all the parents, today, anyone, all the ones who are watching or hearing my class today, it's a humble request to all of y'all that, invest a lot of time, with your kids, a lot of time with your kids. It's very, very important. And the love that you shower on all of, all your kids, nowadays, max one or two kids are there. Yes. That love will blossom very nicely in future, when they grow up. And you can see that in their personality. Now, if that love is not given, you'll see how the personality will be in the future. And that person, when he'll grow up, he will do the same activity what his parents have done. Right? And look at this. How much love Gaur Mohan and Rajini, they gave. They gave to Abhay. And Prabhupada recalls in his class sometimes. Prabhupada says in between the class that my father was like this, my mother was like this. In future, your kids should speak about this. My mother was so caring, so loving. My father was so caring and loving. They sacrificed everything for me. This is the mood. This is the mood which has to be imbibed in the kids. Right? Now look at the childhood samskaras that Abhay was given by his parents. Even before Abhay started walking, Gaur Mohan Prabhu would take him every day to the temple. Hope you remember the Radha Govinda Dev temple every single day. And Prabhupada recalls in one of the class, he says that his father would stand with him for hours together in front of the deities, looking at the beautiful, the Vigraha of Radha Govinda Dev, and watching their beautiful form with the slanted eyes, and the deity photo is there on the screen. You can see the beautiful slanted eyes and holding the flute. And Srimati Radharani is also there. So they would stand for a long time and they would take darshan and they would offer prayers to these beautiful deities which are 150 years old. So in this way, Prabhupada recalls this particular incident. And Prabhupada recalls that every single day before going to school, first he would be taken to the temple. And then later, he would go to school with his friend. So the person whom Rajini appointed to escort Abhay to the temple. So first, Abhay would order him to take him to the temple. And then, you know, they will be taken to the school. This is how the first childhood samskar was given. The next thing is, in Kolkata, there would be a very big Rath Yatra at that time, which would start from Radha Govinda Temple, the photo that we just saw, and it would go down on the road of Harrison. It would go down to that road and return back to the temple. And it is described that there'll be huge program, and lots of prasad would be distributed, and there will be lots of kirtan and other things that would happen. And Prabhupada grew watching all these things. And Jagannath Rath Yatra became very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada also, Abhay also heard about the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri by his superiors. When he heard that, he got so much of intense hankering and attachment for Jagannath Puri that he would keep checking the railway timetable regularly to see which train goes to Jagannath Puri. And he would also see how much fare it is, how much money would be needed. And he would count his piggy bank or whatever. He would keep counting if he has enough money to go there. He would hanker to go there. It is described that in the childhood, Abha insisted one particular day that he wants his own personal rath for Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. Gaur Mohan Prabhu was thinking, "Are kahan se rath laoge? You know, where should I get the rath from?" Then they went to the market and they went around and they saw one rath, and it was very costly. That rath was very costly. So Gaur Mohan Prabhu said, "No, I cannot get this." And then Abhay started crying profusely. He said, "No, I want. See, this is the difference between when a child is brought up in bhakti, when Garbhadhan samskar is done and the child is begot, and when the samskars are given rightly, this is what the child would cry for. And not for, "I want remote control car, I want PS whatever, no, PS5, PS6, I want what is it, PUBG, oh, and what else, Barbie dolls and this and that." Yes. Even now I see in our center, you know, we have kids. So our Yugal Kishore Prabhu's son, he has two nice Jagannath Balde Subhadra, you know, sets of deities. He plays with that. And when the class is going on, he's hardly speaking now. Now he has started speaking better. He plays with that. Now one day I was sitting towards the end at the door, and I was hearing the class, and suddenly my eyes went to this child. He was so quiet. And then I saw him playing with Jagannath Balde Subhadra. How amazing this is. This is the samskara. You know, this is the samskara that should be given. Sometimes I really envy these kids. Then when Abhay was crying, then there was an old lady who was passing by, and she asked Gaur Mohan, "What happened? Why is this cute little boy crying?" So Gaur Mohan said, "He wants a rath, you know, for Rath Yatra. And I cannot afford this. It's very costly." So that lady said, "I have something. Come to my place." And then she took Abhay and Gaur Mohan Prabhu to her place. And she gave an old rath, small old rath, 3 feet, if I'm not wrong. That was the size of the rath. And then they got that back, and Abhay was in ecstasy, complete ecstasy. "I have a personal rath now." Yes. Abhay and his father Gaur Mohan, both of them, they fixed various columns to the rath, and they fixed the canopy to the rath, and it was somewhat resembling to the rath of Jagannath Puri. Now the Rath Yatra of Abhay, who is not even crossed his 10 years, this Rath Yatra was so amazing. It is described that Abhay, in his very, very beautiful dress of dhoti and utri, dhoti and utri, had arranged this wonderful festival. And he had engaged. Now, you can see right from childhood, Abhay was a leader. He gathered all the kids. He called, you know, for his sister Bhavatarini. And he engaged all the kids in various activities. They said, you manage kirtan, you do this, you do that. Bhavatarini, you do this. He managed everyone. And he also engaged the superiors. Their parents also. He engaged all of them making prasadam. So they all made bhoga for Jagannath. Huge prasadam or huge bhoga was made. And this Rath Yatra was not for 1 or 2 days. It went on for 8 consecutive days. 8 consecutive days this Rath Yatra went for. And it was a festival. If our Vaikuntha kids lead, Supraja Mataji, if she is watching, I would request you to organize a Rath Yatra for all our Vaikuntha kids. You know, let's have a nice Rath Yatra once this lockdown opens. The actual Rath Yatra is on June, so we can have some time, you know, at that time. So we can see our kids also, you know, pulling the Rath and dancing in ecstasy. Now, this was the case of Rath Yatra. Now, every day, see, every day when you see something, you would like to do that. Every day, what Prabhupada was seeing was, his father, God Mohan Prabhu, every single day would worship the beautiful deities of Radha and Krishna at home. Every single day, Abhay was seeing this. One fine day, when Abhay was 6 years old, so at that time, he went to his father, Gaur Mohan Prabhu, and he said, can I also have my personal Radha Krishna? Then Gaur Mohan Prabhu was very happy. Very happy. He got him a small, you know, set of Radha and Krishna deities. And then when Radha Krishna deities were given, Abhay was so happy. And then what Abhay would do is, he would imitate two personalities whom he would see every day. One, his father worshipping the deities. And second, the priest of Radha Govinda Mandir. So he would imitate both of them. And what all things he would do? He would offer the ghee lamp to Radha Krishna deities. He would put the deities to rest. He would offer. It is described that whatever would be given to Abhay, first thing that he would do is first take all those things, whatever is given to him, and he would go and offer it, not to his deities, to his deities of Radha Krishna. And then only he will have. Then only he will have. This is called a samskara. This is called a samskara. Now, all of you all who are hearing this class, one thing has to be clear, that whatever you are doing every day as parent, and your kids are watching you passively, and that's what is getting imprinted on their minds. This is very clear from the childhood samskara of Abhay Charan or Abhay, that right from childhood, whatever he was seeing, that's what he was doing. He saw his father worshipping deities, that's what he was doing, right? Now, if our kids, they see us watching TV and fighting and reading newspapers and playing games and drinking alcohol, eating meat or whatever, that's what the samskara that we are giving them. In future, if they take a wrong path, please don't blame them. Please don't blame them. At that time, you have to see the mirror and blame the person in the mirror. Because samskara is given by that person in the mirror. It's not, because kids are innocent. They have their own set of karma, no doubt about that. From past life, they are also carrying some karma. But the samskar that we give in the childhood is very, very important. Very, very important. Samskar means impression on the mind. That impression on the mind is very, very, very important. If the impression is proper, then we will see that the child, without any hindrance, without any problem, would grow and would have a very nice overall personality. Very, very confident in life. But if the samskar is not proper, right from the childhood, and we are giving all nonsensical samskar, then just forget it. Nothing much can happen. Nothing much can happen. Nowadays, when I've seen small girls and small boys, you know, they're dressed in half-naked dresses, and parents feel very nice. Oh, my daughter is looking so nice. She's looking like this heroine. When she actually becomes like that, you'll cry. You'll cry. And then small kids, you know, they are done makeup nicely. I was very upset when I went to one of my relatives' house. And then she's a small first standard girl, and she was crying. We were going to some temple, and she was crying, I want lipstick. I will not go out without lipstick. And I was feeling like your tight slap lipstick. Without lipstick, your lips will become red if I slap. That was my mood. But why is this all happening? Because that's what is samskar that is given. That's what is samskar that is given. Even when it comes to kids, okay, another thing. You ask, whenever you ask kids what you want to become, they will say whatever they're seeing. Simple. They'll say whatever they're seeing. If they see their parents, you know, doing nice devotional service, that's what they would speak. One of the child, and I asked him, what would you do in future? He said, I'll get married like my father, and then I would beget 4 kids. I was like, what does he say? What is a small child speaking? And then he said that I will be doing aarti in my house. And then my wife will be doing kirtan. And one of my kid would play kartal. One of my kid would play mridanga. And other kid would assist me in the aarti. And the other kid would take that aarti and give it to others. I said, "Bapre, kya planning hai iska?" What planning this person has? I was just thinking. This is called as childhood samskara, no doubt about that. Another kid whom I met, again, our Yugal Kishore Prabhu's son, Gaurang Prabhu. So, he was telling. So, they recently have got the Gaurnithai deities. So, I was asking him about his Gaurnithai deities, the last Gaur Purnima festival. He was so happy. He was telling, tomorrow we have Abhishekam of our Gaurnithai. So, please come. He was calling me. And then he was telling me the timing and he was so happy. He was so happy. So he was able to connect with Gaurnithai. I could see that. And I was thinking, I got my Gaurnithai when I was in my final year of engineering, or when I passed out. I just passed out my engineering. And I was thinking, my God, what a difference. You know, this person is having Gaurnithai now and I got it so late. So the thing is, this is called a samskar. Whatever the kids are seeing, that's what they will become. And we cannot, as parents, we cannot tell them, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do. They will not hear, they would see and, you know, learn. That's what, because that's what is their age all about. They would experience, they would see and they would learn. Right? Prabhupada says in one of the lectures that this is in the late 60s, when Prabhupada was organizing the big Rath Yatras all over the world and he was installing different deities in all different temples. At that time, you know, he made the statement saying, I learned all this from my father. Can you imagine this? Prabhupada saying, I learned all this from my father. And exclusively, he says, one thing I learned from my guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and that is printing and distributing transcendental books. But apart from that, everything else I've learned from my father, he says. And he says, in, I think, the sixth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, in some purport, he's saying that we were very fortunate, me and my spiritual master, we were very fortunate to take birth in the devotee family. And right from childhood, we were devotees. That's what he says. This is called a samskar. This is called a samskar. With folded hands, I request all the devotees watching that please make sure that we give good bhakti samskar to our kids, not by telling them what they have to do, by doing ourselves. By doing ourselves, intense devotional practice. When, like for example, a few things that you can do is all of you all can sit together, you know, for having dinner. And then one person can recite the prasadam prayers. If you don't know, you can ask your mentors. And one person can recite Mahaprasade Govinda prayers and others can you know, chant. And even you, without teaching your kid would learn in that crowd, you know, when you're sitting and having prasad. And we have to be, you know, so cautious what we are putting in our mouth. No, then we should keep telling, oh, okay, okay, this is prasad, so I'll eat. And with time, you'll see that without your notice, that your child would just put in prasad in the mouth and nothing else. Even you without telling. Our Amrendra Prabhu's brother, his mother was sharing with me once that he would, in his childhood, even when biscuits were given to him, he would go to the deities of the family and he would tell the deities, please take, please eat, and then only I can eat. He would offer like that, and then he would chant the Mahaprasade Govinda prayers, then only put that biscuit in the mouth. This is what is called a samskar. Then entire family can sit together and read something without calling the kid. You should read it with so much of enthusiasm, and you know, there should be so much of bliss that the kid should be attracted to that place. Without calling the kid, we should chant, should sit and chant. And our chanting should be so nice, and we should be so blissful that automatically the kid should come and ask, can I also chant? Can I get my beats? Without we telling the kid what to do, if we do it ourselves, like Gaur Mohan and Rajini would do, the kid would automatically get the bhakti samskaras right from childhood. Automatically. This is what Shastras talk about. This is what Shastras talk about. With time, Abhay grew. And he started going to school and then he went to college. During his college, he went to a college which was named as British Scottish Church College. He went to that college because at that time it was British rule that was going on. And during his college days only, his father, Gaur Mohan Prabhu, he got him married to a daughter from another merchant family and her name was Radharani Datta. And for many years, the girl lived in her house and Abhay lived in his own house because he had not completed his college at that time. So there were no immediate responsibilities. So it was expected that only after he finishes the college, he would get this responsibilities. Once Abhay went to his father and then he said, I don't like this girl. So at that time, Gaur Mohan Prabhu, he said, very nice. Very nice. In future, it will be very easy for you to take renunciation. This is what was told by Gaur Mohan Prabhu. Gaur Mohan Prabhu would always look at how my child can become a pure devotee. He was not interested in any material progress of his child. He was just looking how my child can become a pure devotee. That was the entire meditation of Gaur Mohan Prabhu. And with time, when Prabhupada or Abhay came to the senior years, or when he became senior in this college. So at that time, his immediate senior was one of the great freedom fighters, Subhash Chandra Bose. He was also in the same college, Scottish Church College. So Subhash Chandra Bose, right, you know, from that time, he was very, very fired up when it comes to this independence movement. And he would be giving speeches in underground. Different underground places he would give speeches. And Abhay would regularly go and attend. Sessions, you know, that Subhash Chandra Bose would give. In fact, it is also said that Abhay would follow exactly whatever Subhash Chandra Bose would say. Because Abhay was attracted to this independence movement. And he was also attracted to by Gandhi. He would listen to all his speeches. And Abhay would always see Gandhi holding, Mahatma Gandhi holding the Bhagavad Gita. And Abhay would feel, yes, he's a person who will take spirituality to the next level. And he would follow. And to follow Mahatma Gandhi, he started wearing the khadi clothes, the khadi, dhoti and kurta. That's what he started wearing. And if you all remember in the history, you know, we have learned in our childhood or bihearted in our childhood that there was something called as Jallianwala Bagh incident, where a lot of innocent Indians were killed. That was a peace meeting that was there. And, you know, these Britishers, they came and they, you know, they started firing the innocent Indians. Many, many people were killed. At that time, Mahatma Gandhi started non-cooperation movement. And then Mahatma Gandhi, he told all the students that, all his followers, not to accept the degree. And Abhay was one of them. Abhay was one of them. And he didn't accept the degree in the final year. You know, when he was given the degree, he refused to accept the degree. Just, you know, so that he wanted to resonate with what Mahatma Gandhi was doing. Now, this is what all Abhay was doing. But just imagine what was happening to Gaur Mohan Prabhu. Gaur Mohan Prabhu was seeing all this and he was disturbed. But then he was more concerned about his future. He was not concerned about Indian politics. Pure devotees are not concerned about anything external. So he was only concerned about his child's future as bhakta, as a devotee. There are some photos now which I would like to show you all. You can see some photos of Abhay. So This is the little Abhay asking his father, give me my personal deities also. And these are the personal deities of our dear Srila Prabhupada when he was a little 6 years old. Kid. Just see how nice and how beautiful they are. And you look at the attire, now what our Abhay is wearing. And this is the Rath Yatra now that is happening. And this is the school where Abhay studied. And this is the Scottish Church College where he did his higher studies from. Yes. This is the place which we'll come back later. That is the place where he met his spiritual master. So now, he didn't accept any degree. So who will give him a job? No one will give Abhay a job, right? So at that time, Gaur Mohan Prabhu, he had a very nice friend of his. His name was Dr. Karthik Chandra Bose. So Karthik Chandra Bose was a surgeon and he also had his, he was a chemical industrialist basically. So he approached him and then he said that, you know, can you please recruit my son also? Can you please give him some job? So Dr. Karthik Chandra Bose was very happy because this was a request of Gaur Mohan Prabhu. And Gaur Mohan Prabhu was very dear. Very dear to the entire surrounding, all the people in the surrounding, all his neighbors. So there, he said, I would be happy to accept your son. And there Abhay was given the job of the departmental manager in the Bose laboratory in Kolkata. That was the thing that was given. I remember one pastime. Once what happened is, when Prabhupada was in the West, you know, preaching, so a person, he became a devotee, and he was a drug dealer previously. He was a drug dealer. He would deal with a lot of marijuana and all those things, drugs, LSD and so on and so forth. And then after becoming a nice devotee, he started feeling very guilty that I did all this nonsense and, you know, I should confess this. I should go and tell my spiritual master what all I've done. So at that time, he went to Srila Prabhupada and he said that, Prabhupada, I want to confess something. I'm guilty of something. So Prabhupada said, what? And he said, Prabhupada, I was a drug dealer before. So Prabhupada looked at him and he said, so what? I was also a drug dealer. Because Prabhupada was a farmer. He worked in the pharmacy industry. I was also a drug dealer. This is how Prabhupada would love, you know, his devotees, his disciples. He never pulled anyone down. He always made them very, very comfortable. Very, very comfortable. That was the love of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, it's Srila Prabhupada's love that we have got his books today. It is Srila Prabhupada's love. We'll see how Prabhupada wrote books. I don't know, you know, if we'll be able to reach there. But still, you know, we'll see that how Srila Prabhupada would sleep only for 2 hours at night. From 10 to 12. And would start writing books entire night. With only one thing in the mind, that in future, there'll be many, many grand disciples of mine who would need my books to progress on the path of bhakti. We literally pay repeated obeisances to those devotees who have recorded Srila Prabhupada's audio lectures. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what do you mean by audio lectures of Srila Prabhupada? A pure devotee is speaking and the pure vani is recorded. Can you imagine? Pure vani is recorded. Even if you don't understand what Prabhupada is speaking, because Prabhupada has got a thick Bengali accent, you know, when he speaks. But with time you'll understand once you start hearing the chime. But even if you don't understand, if you just hear the pure vani of a pure devotee is entering, what else do we need? And that pure vani enters our heart and cleanses our heart. And you see Prabhupada's purity. He's not like us. We all are picked up from the street. Yes. Some Janmashtami was happening. And for me, you know, some place I visited and then I was called for a class. You know, right from childhood, all nonsense we have done. All movies and this and that we have watched. And eating in restaurants and eating non-veg and, you know, doing this and that and all nonsense stuff. Then finally we attended some course and now, you know, we are chanting. So we are picked up from the street. You know, we are not big pure devotees or something. Look at the purity of Srila Prabhupada. Right from childhood, right from birth. You know, he was a devotee. Right from the womb of his mother, he was a devotee. Because his mother was a nice devotee and she would have only prasadam. Nothing else. And Gaur Mohan Prabhu was such a great devotee. That only thing, just imagine, by seeing the child, his child, he had the desire that he should become a devotee. Don't you think? Even before he was born, what prayers he would be offering to Krishna. That please send your own Senapati Bhakta. Please send your own pure devotee as my child. That would be his intense prayers for sure. So before, you know, Prabhupada appeared or before you know, he appeared onto this earthly planet from the womb of his mother, he was a pure devotee already. And right from childhood, look at this, never ever Srila Prabhupada ate anything that was not prasad. Not even a single grain was put in the mouth of Prabhupada. In fact, once what happened in the childhood was, Prabhupada was ill. Abhay was ill and he was taken to the doctor. And the doctor suggested that chicken soup should be fed. And Gaur Mohan Prabhu said, even if he dies, it's okay. I'm not going to do this. So you can imagine the purity of Srila Prabhupada right from his childhood. Right from his childhood, his attachment to the deities of Radha Krishna, his attachment to Bhagavatam, his attachment to Jagannath Puri and Jagannath himself. This is called as pure devotee. This is called as pure devotee. And we are very, very fortunate, very, very fortunate that he has written books and his audio lectures are recorded. And we will be intelligent only if every single day we make maximum utilization of it. Prabhupada has written 80 books. 80 books. Even if we read every single day in our entire life, I doubt if we'll be able to finish the books that he has written. And the lectures are so many lectures. Wow, so many lectures. His lectures are there, his morning walks are there, room conversations are there, and so many things are there. So in this way, you know, we can understand how fortunate all of us are. And we can make maximum utilization of it only when we utilize, or only when we utilize all these resources that we have got. With folded hands, I would request all of you all that understanding this background, the purity of Srila Prabhupada, start hearing audio lectures of Srila Prabhupada and start reading Prabhupada books. Talk to all your mentors and ask them what to read and what to hear, and immediately start without delay, because for sure, if you associate with the writings and the audio lectures of a pure devotee, we will become pure devotees. Or else it will be very, very, very difficult. Very difficult. Right? So in this way, you know, this was the childhood of Srila Prabhupada. Tomorrow we are going to see a very, very, or hear a very, very important incident that happened in Prabhupada's life. Till now, Prabhupada, you know, has been a freedom fighter. He's going around and, you know, he's talking about freedom fighting. He's hearing Subhash Chandra Bose. He is hearing Mahatma Gandhi. And in fact, during his college days, it is described that he stopped worshipping Radha Krishna deities also. He is such a great freedom fighter. And one fine day when his deities came in his dreams and he said, why are you putting us in the box and kept us here? So that time, you know, he felt very guilty and he, you know, restarted or resumed his worship. So such a personality is going to turn to a very, very staunch devotee. He was a devotee, no doubt about that. Now he's going to turn to a very, very staunch devotee and a staunch preacher of the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And the incident was the meeting of Abhay Charan with his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So tomorrow, same time, 7 o'clock, we all meet and we all would be hearing about the meeting. And this meeting is really touching, really touching. So let's meet tomorrow. Yes. Any questions you want to ask, I would like to answer. Oh, I was not able to hear. My son is 15 years. Can we work now also to change him bhakti path as we have started now? Yeah, you can practice very nicely. You practice yourself very nicely, very strongly. And then later, maybe he might not become a devotee now. Because 15 years means already 10th standard. And 10th standard means attachment to friends. 10th standard, 11th, attachment to friends. So they will be more interested in friends now than your instructions. Chanakya Pandit says, he talks about parenting. And he says, less than 11 years you can instruct your child. But after 11 years, the only thing that can be done is be a friend. Be a friend. And friends will never instruct. Friends will always suggest. So we can practice bhakti very nicely and set an ideal example at home. Now when your child would go out for some professional course, say engineering or MBBS or whatever, so you shift to hospital. You shift to hostel. You shift to hostel. And when you come home, the entire atmosphere at home now should be so lively and it should be so holy and it should be so sublime that you should feel that there is something that is very, very great that is happening in my house. Even if the child doesn't become a devotee now, for sure, seeing the parents practicing bhakti and always remaining happy in life and not getting really affected by this worldly miseries, in future, when he would face some problem in life, automatically, he would take to bhakti at that time. And in between, you can keep saying that this is very nice. We are practicing, you know, I'm feeling very nice. If you want, you can also, you know, start doing this meditation. This will help you in your studies. But then we are just suggesting, we are not instructing. We are not saying you should. I'm taking parenting sessions or having teenage parenting sessions for parents and sessions for teenage kids. So when I talk to teenage kids, they have this thing in their mind that parents instruct. And we don't like to hear instructions. And you might be seen. You can see your own kids if they have entered their teens. You keep saying again and again and again, they would never listen. In fact, I was like that. I was like that in my teens. I was like that. So this is what I would say, that parents should practice very intensely. Be it a small kid or be it a college going kid, doesn't matter. We have to practice bhakti very intensely. Every single day when we nicely do devotional service, and give first priority to Krishna and not have chaos in the family due to small things, and keep things peaceful, and we ourselves be very genuine in our devotional practice and be like that, then we can say that for sure our child would also take up bhakti very nicely. This is what I would say. Currently for your kid, he's already 15, you cannot do much. You yourself take up bhakti very nicely and keep suggesting in between. And important is maintain the house, the setup of the house, very, very sublime. That entire atmosphere should be really, really amazing. Without any fight and without any chaos at home. This is what is my suggestion as a teenage or a youth counselor. If both wife and husband are working, is it going to negatively impact child's upbringing? But obvious. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. It is recommended that when the child is small, the mother remains at home and takes care of the child. When the child grows up, then maybe the financial crunch is there. Then yes, the mother can go to office and they can earn. Yeah, if the financial crisis is too much, then you cannot avoid. You have to. Like I have a few of my relatives who are working, both husband and wife are working, and they are really terrible when it comes to the financial situation. So you cannot do anything at that time. But when they are well-to-do, lots of time has to be invested at home, with kids to take care of them. And we have seen this, in our own congregation, that the parents who are giving nice time, to the kids. So, they would be, their kids are really amazing. One of our mentors, Indu Mataji, she just resigned her job only for this. She was a very nice VLSI design engineer. Coming from a VLSI background, I understand how much she'll be earning, having 10 years of experience, and how much she'll be liking the job. But then she just gave up her job only to take care of her kid and her husband, only for that. So she had, we had a discussion before she resigned, and then she was saying all this. It's very nice. There are many people like that. We have some people who have done PhDs also. Even they are taking care of the kids. In fact, my mother would say this often to me, that she is very, very nicely qualified. She could have been a nice teacher in some school, and she was before my birth. She was. But when I was born, then she gave up her job and she took care of me. She would tell again and again that I could have utilized my education very nicely. I didn't do anything. I would always tell her this one thing, and she's very convinced about that now, at least, looking at me and my brother. So I would tell her that your contribution was in our life and your success is in our success, and you have seen that. And only because of you, if today I'm a devotee and I'm preaching the message of Gita, it's only because of you. It's only because of you. Yes. Because at home, she would teach me so many things. She would teach us how to do deity worship. She taught us how to offer prayers. She would. She taught how to cook. She engaged us in vessel washing, cleaning the house. Yes, and she would again and again tell me that a boy should know everything. And I never understood. I would say, why is she saying? Maybe she wants to give her work to me. But now I'm realizing. Now I'm realizing that it's only because of the samskar that the mothers give. Fathers don't have much, to be very frank, fathers don't have much contribution. Yes, now when the boy grows to a certain extent, then he looks up to the father for inspiration. But when it comes to childhood till the teenage, they look up to the mother for inspiration. And daughters, no doubt, till their last breath, they look up to the inspiration from their mothers only. So something like that. So we have to decide, whatever it is. And here, that's what we see. That's what Vedic culture also suggests. That these are not my words. Vedic culture, that's what it suggests. Right? So, is it suggested for a wife to concentrate on personal life or more on personal life? It's up to the person. It's up to the person. What is the goal? If the financial crisis is really very great at home, then yes, then even the female has to become Jhansi Ki Rani and go out and earn. And if the financial status is good, why don't we have a nice lavish life, taking care of the kids and really giving them time, investing time on them. Yes. And if there are no kids, go work. No, who cares? But if kids are there, they are the first priority. No doubt. No doubt about that. Hope this answers your question. Thank you very much.